All right. Well, I don't want to keep you a little long because your roast is cooking right now. Mine is. And it's little, so I'm not inviting you. Every new year, I think about, you know, where I should be headed in my spiritual growth this coming year. Every year, there are a few things that I consider regarding the kinds of disciplines that I need to incorporate into my life. You know, we have habits and things we do, and we realize that we need to do some certain things different. You know, some of those examples could be, you know, I would like to spend more time in prayer and fasting this coming year. I've made that commitment a few times, a few New Years. I would like not to worry so much about the external physical things that can distract me from growing in the Lord. We think about those things. I always think about how I could be able to bless others with my talents and my resources. You know, God gave me those things not for my own benefit only, but for the benefit of my brothers and sisters. So I think about, you know, where can I bless others? You know, I used to be a father of four young kids at one point. They were very young. I had certain goals back then, and most of those goals involved my family. I used to have a secular work in LaBelle that demanded 5 days a week of commitment to that job, 9 hours a day. So a lot of time spent working. Some things have changed now. I am a grandfather to 11 children. I have a wife and a home that need my attention and assistance. My wife and I are pastoring around 100 people, and we try to make ourselves available 24/7. I'm going to be 70 years old this summer. Some of you are saying, man, you're ancient. You know, if you're a very normal person, you have probably considered similar thoughts during this New Year's time, if you have slowed down any. I know some of you just go, 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 and then you crash. You know, we all tend to think about those kind of things during this time of the year, that we have some reprieve, some rest time, some idle time. Some of us do it intentionally. Others just happen to find themselves thinking because they did have the time to do. And then the big issue becomes, are we going to commit to do something towards those goals? Or are we just going to continue life as it has been up to now? You know, we have all heard stories of people and their issues. We hear about some, you know, we think about somebody, if he would have done something about his smoking, he would not have died of emphysema. You know, you've heard that. Got a few friends that they abused their lungs so long, and when they quit, it was a little too late. Emphysema had already taken. They're suffering right now. Some of them have gone to be wherever they were destined. If they would have gotten into a healthier diet, they would not be struggling with diabetes and joint problems. You know, we think about those kind of things. You know, we abuse ourselves and we eat this, that, and the other, and we wonder why my body doesn't respond like it used to. If they would have gotten into a reasonable budget, they would not be in foreclosure and bankruptcy. Some of us think of the kind of commitments we made this last year or a few years before, and we wish we wouldn't have done that, and now we're paying the consequences. And the list goes on and on. You think about the things you did that were not right. You knew it. You still did it anyway. You know, one thing about God, he never changes. But we're fallen creatures, and we're always changing. We need to be. Sometimes we change for good. Other times we don't change for that good of stuff. But now, it is interesting that our default is this. If we don't make a determination and an effort to change, we tend to deteriorate. I remember back in, I think it was high school time, in science class, there was a term called entropy. Okay, thing you need to work. There you go. The definition of entropy, which is a fancy word, is the tendency of a system to move from a state of order to a state of disorder. You know, this law, this tendency, started happening when Adam and Eve sinned. It all went down. And so, this principle applies to us humans. If we don't make an effort to improve, our default tendency is to deteriorate. You know, you ignore something thinking it's going to get better. And somehow it's going to blow up on your face later on. This principle applies to every aspect of our lives. It applies to our physical bodies, to our emotional state, to our spiritual state, to our social life, and even to our financial life. God has some words of wisdom for us in this area. And I have to change this by hand. Maybe. There you go. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, the Proverbs says, "He who has slack hands become poor, but the hands of the diligent make rich." You know, we like to procrastinate a lot. We think, you know, I'll put it off for later. And yet, the Lord says, it is the diligent that progresses. The one who slacks. Oh, Eric, I'll do it manually. Thank you. The one who slacks, the Lord says, he will become poor. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4, "The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing." You know, we have dreamers out there. And sometimes we are one of those. We think, you know, oh, I'm going to win the lotto. We have known of people that have spent, you know, if they would have saved the money that they spent on lotto tickets, they would be well taken care of through their age. And they never won anything to amount to any meaningful thing. A lazy man versus the diligent. God says, the diligent shall be made rich. That's an area you desire. You have to know what diligence is all about. Proverbs 21:5, "The plans of the diligent lead surely, surely to plenty. But those are everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty." In the book of Hebrews chapter 4, that chapter starts talking about promises given that were not enjoyed by the people because the people did not mix those promises with faith. You know, we like to hear, oh, you will prosper. And you say, yeah, but you don't involve, you don't invest your faith in believing that God wants you to prosper in a particular way so that you need to devote yourself to it. And it continues in chapter 4. It talks about especially a promise of rest for God's people, which they did not get because they were disobedient. I went to the dentist the other day, and they told me that I've got a lot of bone growth on the sides of the mouth, both inside and you know, outside my mouth. And I said, is that unusual? And the dentist, no, that's very common nowadays. And I said, you know, I asked, what causes those? And he says, she said, female dentist, she said, most people nowadays, they grit their teeth a lot when they sleep. There is so much worry and so much concern. And you may not notice it in your wake up hours, but when you're sleeping, your whole body shows up and you tend to grit your teeth and your gums respond by building extra bones somewhere else beside where it was supposed to. I said, oh. No wonder my parents and grandparents didn't have to worry about that. They just had an easy life. They went, well, it wasn't an easy life, but it was a worry-free life. They did what they had to. They expected a return. And they didn't worry about the things that we worry about. What's in Facebook? What are they talking about me? Some of you spent till 2 o'clock in the morning updating and finding out what everybody else is doing. You may have funny bone growth in your mouth. And then finally, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, the author of Hebrews says, a therefore there. He says, because of people did not mix faith with unbelief, and because they were disobedient, they didn't enjoy promises. But then he says, let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest that God promised, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. He's saying that there is work and diligence for us to do to get and enter into the rest that God promised. You see, life only changes when we apply the truth of God in our lives. Well, I should say, change for the better. I mean, we can do nothing and change for the worse. And honestly, if we're all honest with ourselves, we will not apply those principles until we feel like we really see that we have a problem and that we need to experience and we see the need for us to change. You know, we can gain a lot of knowledge, but if you don't see the relevance of that knowledge in your life, it would just be another chip in your brain that will be stored. And it won't do you any good because you never put it to practice. We as people, we tend to be a little hesitant to changes. Some of us don't like change at all. We like normality. But normality in the world that we live is constant change, and we have to adapt. We need to change or we will deteriorate. We either change forward into the good things or we will tend to deteriorate like rust does to metal. One of our problems seems to be that we try to change too much at one time, especially at times like this when we have New Year resolutions and commitments. We try to change too much at one time, we can't do it, we get discouraged, and we quit trying very quickly. That's not what God recommends for us. In Isaiah chapter 28, there's an interesting scripture. It's kind of isolated, but I think it pertains to us, especially today. Isaiah 28:10 says, "For precept must be upon precept." In other words, there's an order, there's a timing. And he repeats it, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Oh, we want to change it drastically. I'm going to have all things new. And you see yourself defaulting back to the way you were, and even worse. When you are thirsty, you don't go to a fire hydrant to drink water. That'll be too much at once. You would choke yourself to death. No, you take a little cup and you drink a little sip. You take time for that to work in, and then you take a little more. If you try to gulp yourself, you'll choke yourself. In James chapter 5, the Apostle James tells us, "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure." We're talking about endurance here. We can make all kinds of commitments, but it takes endurance for those commitments to take root in our lives. You have heard of the perseverance of Job. That's just another word of endurance. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. You know, many of us feel sorry about Job, but God wanted to do a work on Job. If you read the first chapter, you know he was so concerned about his children. He made sacrifices every day. He was worried about him. And God had to do a work. And at the end, he was doubly blessed. He persevered. He stayed with the Lord. Through trial, through affliction, he stayed faithful. And he reaped the results. And he was a changed man. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, the author of Hebrews says, "For you have need of endurance." We do need endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. A lot of us want the promise and then want to do the endurance after we have the promise. It doesn't work that way. Most of you get the paycheck after you've worked the 2 weeks, not before. You know the parable of the sower? You remember that there was one of those seed that fell on rocky ground, and the seed sprouted but couldn't get their roots established. And in Mark 4:17 says, "And they have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time, only for a time. After one, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble." We need stamina. We are not running a sprint for life. We are running a marathon. And for a marathon, you cannot go full blast. And we all want to go full blast. We think we're missing something, and so we just spend ourselves so thin that we're not good for anybody else nor ourselves. I included a handout in your bulletins. And it takes anywhere, you know, it varies with people, but around 6 or 8 weeks of constant, consistent practice to establish a habit in our lives. especially those that require daily application. And in there, I talk about the first thing is we need to realize that we have need of a change. You know, people spend their energies trying to change us, but if we don't see our need to change, that'll never happen, even though people have good intentions with us. So we have to own the need for change to start with. And then we need to involve the Lord. You know, many times we know that we need a change, we don't know how to go about doing it. This is where the Holy Spirit will help you, will guide you. Look into His Word, determined to find a solution from His Word, His principle. Talk to somebody that knows the Word, knows the principles of the Word. They will instruct you, help you come up with a plan. And then number four, you need to commit. You need to verbalize, Lord, I have been struggling in this area. I know I need to change. Give me the strength. Give me the strategy. Give me the willingness to change this thing for the good, for your glory and for my good. Commit to a new habit that will bring the change. And then there's an ugly word there that most of us don't want to engage in, accountability. We want to be free spirits that, you know, I can handle this. I don't need anybody's help. You know, you're talking to an expert in thinking that I can do anything by myself. And I know I can't. I know I can't. You know, there's some areas that I'm good at, and I like to work by myself. But I need people. You know, sometimes I don't involve my wife in much of what I do, you know, construction-wise, building stuff. And yet, just an extra hand makes my life so much simpler. You know, can I help you? And I said, you're a puny woman. And yet, a third hand to help me lift or move or shift or hold makes all the difference in the world. When we decide to make a change in our lives, we need to involve others. God has created us to live in community, and we need one another. God has put gifts and talents and abilities in others and in us, not only for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others, so that we can grow together. And as I become accountable to those around me, then it's not that simple for me to say, I'm just going to quit. I can't do it. Well, you can't do it by yourself. You were not called to do it by yourself. You need the encouragement of those around you that you committed to be accountable to. And finally, be unshakable in your determination to change. You know you need it. Everybody else knows that you need it. And they wish that you would get with it, get with the program. And so I end up with the scripture in James chapter 1, verse 3. You're going to be tested. You want to change. You know, once you declare, God, I'm going to change in this area, the enemy just comes just like a flood, doesn't he? And when you never had so much of a pressure, all of a sudden all that pressure shows up. Just after you said, Lord, I'm going to change, opposition comes in. But see, this is what the Lord uses to strengthen us. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, perseverance, endurance. But let that endurance have its perfect work, that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Yes, we have to go through those hard times. Those are the times that build your muscles, your spiritual muscles, your emotional muscles, so that you can develop the stamina in whatever area, so that you can grow up and become better. at what you do. The Lord wants us growing. Paul got to the, I think, Galatians, and he said, you're like babies. I have spent more than 2 years teaching you, and you're still wearing diapers. And you know, the worst thing is to see an adult acting like a child. It's just not normal. And yet some people think that they have the right to behave that way all the time. It's time to grow up. So in this new year, as you make commitments to yourself and hopefully to the Lord, if you make them to the Lord, then ask from Him the strength that you need. Those people that need to come around you and strengthen you and support you and encourage you and help you to stay with the commitment until they become a normal habit in our lives. So I pray that you make some wise choices, that you acknowledge that you need change for good, and that you're going to do something about it. So Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for all that you provided for us to live a holy and fruitful life. Father, change is inevitable. In fact, it's necessary. Lord, we are being changed from glory to glory to the image of Jesus. And Lord, for that, we need to drop some things and pick up new things. And Lord, that requires work, and that requires perseverance, endurance. Lord, I pray that this body would hear from your Spirit the areas that you're dealing with, each one of us right now, that we would take it seriously, that we would make a commitment to you, that we're going to give it our very best. And Lord, that we are going to include those of our area of influence to help me, to help us, to be accountable to, that we may together win the battle that lays ahead. Lord, that we would be changed more and more into your image, and that we become the light and the salt that you've called us to be in this world. Lord, I bless your people, and I pray that in this new year, they will accomplish much, much more than they have done in the past for your glory and honor and for your good of your people. I bless them, and I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you are dismissed. If anyone needs prayer, we're going to be here for a short time. God bless.